When's the last time you did something to please God? You deliberately desired Him to be pleased. You know, for us as believers, that can escape us pretty easily, can it? We cannot think about Him in the way we should. If you're thinking about pleasing Him, you're thinking relationally, right? You have a relationship with the living God. You have a relationship in which He interacts with us and speaks to us.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a phone comment from Kathy from Texas. She says, "Thank you, God bless you. I love your program, and I'm praying for you." Well, Kathy, thank you so much for your encouragement, and we so appreciate the prayers of those who are listening. It is such a blessing for us to hear. So thank you so much, and we praise the Lord for His encouragement through you.
And Greg, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I don't think anyone strives to be mediocre. You know, sometimes we end up there. I just don't think anyone starts out hoping they will achieve lukewarm mediocrity.
You know, Dave, I have to agree with you that on a physical level, I don't think anyone strives to be lukewarm or live a second-rate life. Yet when it comes to our spiritual lives, we often very quickly settle for that which is not best. And what we'll learn today from the Apostle Paul is that as followers of Jesus Christ, we should be striving to live a life that excels. In fact, that should be the norm for the Christian. Our text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Well, let me ask you this question. Is there anything in life that we should be getting better at? Is there anything in our lives that we should be getting better and better at? Well, we certainly all could grow in our work, at our jobs. We could all do better performing in that. Certainly all of us could do better in our marriages, in our relationships. Certainly we can all do better in our parenting, no doubt about that. Certainly we can grow in many areas of our lives. But yet, what about our relationship with Jesus Christ? You see, the same applies. Stagnation is not a good thing. If we are not growing in our relationship with Christ, that is not a good thing. We should be growing day by day in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we're just going to see today that we are to be those who excel even more in our walk with Christ. Would you turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're beginning our look in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4. And we're going to see how we can live a life that excels still more in Christ. Now, to remind you of the context, in Acts chapter 16, we see the Apostle Paul and his companions were led by the Spirit of God to cross the Aegean Sea to Macedonia to share the gospel. And it's at this point we have the birth of the Philippian church. And then after they were beaten and mistreated shamefully in Philippi, they journeyed some 50 miles west to Thessalonica. And in chapter 17 of the book of Acts, we have the record of the salvation of these Thessalonians. But we also see that the Jews of the city became enraged about Paul's teaching of Jesus, and they created a riot, and Paul was driven out of town, basically. He then left, traveling southward to Berea to preach the word, and again, the Jews from Thessalonica followed him and created an uproar. Paul then left the city and went to Athens, and he remained a short time there and then returned to Corinth. Now, as we've seen in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul was very concerned about the Thessalonians, so he sent Timothy while in Athens back to strengthen and encourage them as to their faith. And then he went on to Corinth. And in Corinth, he received the news concerning where they were at in regards to their faith in Jesus, and this letter is his response to that news. And they are only less than a year old in the faith, yet we're going to see they were taught major truth in that first year, even in the first 3 weeks of their salvation. And Paul expected them to understand truth in the Christian life. Now, specifically in chapter 1, we saw that Paul shared his thankfulness for their true repentance and faith in Jesus, their true conversion. how they had turned to God from idols, to serve a living God and to wait for his Son from heaven who delivers us from the wrath to come. And then in chapter 2, we see Paul felt inspired by the Spirit, the need to defend himself in the manner in which he came to these Thessalonians. Indeed, Satan does use wicked men and deceive brethren to tempt people to not see those who share the word with them rightly. And the Apostle Paul needed to defend himself, and he shared that they had imparted the word from the right motives. They also imparted their lives in a loving manner as they shared the word of God. And in that context, he reminded them of the right behavior unto the right goal, which would be walking in a worthy manner. And then in verse 13 of chapter 3, we saw that we grow in our relationship with Christ through the word that performs its work in us. And Paul was so thankful that these Thessalonians had responded to the word. And then the latter part of chapter 2, we see how we can know the word is working in one's life as it brought about temporal suffering. Yes, when you come to Christ, there is suffering at times. And yet there are eternally rewarding relationships. Some are broken, but the eternal ones begin and are blessed. And you might remember in chapter 3, we saw that Paul could no longer endure not knowing where these Thessalonians were at in regards to their faith in Jesus. So he sent Timothy to strengthen them and encourage them as to their faith so that no one would be disturbed by the afflictions they were going through, because they were destined for those, and we know that we are. And it's from a good report, the Apostle Paul gets back, that they had faith in Jesus. They were standing firm and they had a love for one another. And they also desired to see the Apostle Paul. They had affection for him. Those who were trying to pull away their hearts had not succeeded. Satan had not succeeded. So the Apostle Paul was so thankful, and it brought him to be greatly encouraged. And he couldn't thank God enough for the joy that was brought in hearing the report of what Christ was doing in them. And then he begins to share that he's been praying for them day and night, that he would see them and that he'd be able to complete what is lacking in their faith. And he shares how that's done. Only the Lord can do it. Only the Lord can cause them to increase and abound in love for one another and be established unblameable when Christ comes. So that brings us to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, we're going to see the Apostle Paul begins to now share specific commands for our walk in Christ. Take a look, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 3, but I'm going to continue on to verse 8 because it is connected to that, but we will only go to the first half of 3 today. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you may excel still more. For you know what commands we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you knows how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion, like the Gentiles who do not know God. And that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things. Just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Consequently, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. We're going to see as the Apostle Paul begins to share how we are to excel still more, he's going to share in a couple areas. First, in purity, as we'll see partially today and then next week. And then in love for one another. So with that in mind, I believe we're going to see today how we can live a life that excels still more in Christ. Notice, first of all, we need to be determined to keep growing. We need to make a choice to keep growing in our relationship with Christ. And we need to understand how that is manifest. Back to verse 1 again. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you have received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you may excel still more. Now the Apostle Paul begins with the word finally. Finally. Yet is this the last thing that he's going to say here? Not really. We have two more full chapters. Actually, this term finally literally means as for the rest of what I'm going to say. As for the rest. But it does signify a transition to the more practical commands and teaching concerning our walk with Jesus Christ. Now, for us to understand this passage, we need to understand the grammatical structure to which it is brought forth. Notice, first of all, we have a request and an exhortation. Finally, then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what are they requesting? Grammatically, it goes down to the phrase, that you may excel still more. But yet, within that, the middle of the verse gives us the meat on those commands, which says that they're to excel still more in how they ought to walk and please God in the context of the instruction they had already received from Paul and should receive. So then this passage is about excelling still more. That's what it's about. And it is in the context of our walk and pleasing God. We should not be stagnating in our walk with Christ. Yes, we're not there yet. We are pressing on. We're not there yet, but we should not be stagnating. We should not be the same that we were 10 years ago in Christ. We should be growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And folks, it does discourage me at times when I see people, and I do, and I'm not trying to point anybody out, but I see people who've never changed. They've never grown in Christ. We are not to stay where we are at. We are to continue to grow. We are, as we will see, to excel still more. Now, this term excel comes from the Greek word, which means over and above, to overflow or to surpass. It's not just simply doing better. It's overflowing. And it is also, in this context, modified by the term here, excel still more, or more, which means to a greater degree. So the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, we request and exhort of you that you would excel or abound still more and overflow in how you ought to walk and please God. That's what he's talking about. As we will see, our walk is what we do every day. And the heart motive is to please him from that. The term more speaks to a greater degree. It sells still more, even to a greater degree. And so we are looking at this passage. One observation we can make already is that they are already excelling, these Thessalonians. He's not saying you are stagnating, you need to get out of that rut. He's not saying that. He's saying, I want you to excel still more in that. Now, although the Thessalonians were not stagnating, maybe some of us who are listening have been stagnating. Maybe you have not been excelling at all still more in your walk with Christ. You need to come to grips with that first. You need to recognize, hey, something's wrong here. And what's wrong is something is in the way. When you think of a baby or a child that is not growing, something is wrong. When you think of a plant that is not growing, there's something wrong with that. You got to come to the understanding, what is in the way? Well, what we know from Scripture is if we're not growing, sin is in the way. It could be that you've never truly come to faith in Jesus Christ, and that's why from the outside it perceives that you have stagnated in your said faith. The reality is God is gracious. He wants you to know, and he wants you to come to faith. He wants you to believe in his son Jesus to be saved. But the same is true for us as believers. We can allow sin to get in the way. And if we have sin in the way, we are not, as we'll see later on, going to be able to receive the word and thus grow in our relationship with Christ. So then, as we go through this passage, if you realize you haven't grown, ask God to reveal the area of sin that it is and confess it. You probably already know, we know already, but confess it, be forgiven, move forward clean and grow and excel still more. So back to our passage, notice he says here, finally then, brethren, he's speaking to believers who know Jesus Christ, these Thessalonians, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus. Paul and his companions, Timothy and Silas, request. The word speaks of requesting, and it's an interesting word. It shows Paul's humility. Requesting of an equal. He's coming as an equal. We request of you. And then he strengthens that request. He says, and we exhort you in the Lord Jesus. Exhort, parakaleo, means to call to one side. Speaks of bringing someone to your side to say something to them very closely. And it could mean to encourage them, but it also could mean to say, hey, you need to do this. It's translated exhort here, and I think that's a correct translation here. And notice he says, we request and exhort you, what? In the Lord. What is to follow is not simply Paul's desire as a fellow believer. It is a strong exhortation in the Lord Jesus by his authority. And we're going to see later on that they know what commands they have received. There are commands. It's a strong request and exhortation in a humble way from the Apostle Paul and his companions. So this is a very serious matter. It is in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is Paul asking them to do? Verse 1, finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do, that you may excel still more. Literally, as we just saw a few minutes ago, that you may abound or excel to a greater degree, but yet in what? In walking and pleasing God. Excel even more, superabound even more in your walk with Christ. Keep growing, keep maturing, be determined to keep growing. The term walk is a pretty simple term. It speaks of our course of life, our day-to-day actions, what you do on a daily basis. That's your walk. And then the internal motivation, notice this, is of the walk is pleasing God. When's the last time you did something to please God? You deliberately desired Him to be pleased in what you did. You know, for us as believers, that can escape us pretty easily, can it? We cannot think about Him in the way we should. If you're thinking about pleasing Him, you're thinking relationally, right? You have a relationship with the living God. You have a relationship in which He interacts with us and speaks to us through His Word by His Spirit, and we are able to pray by His Spirit. Pleasing God, there's a relationship there. And these believers had that relationship, and they were abounding in it, but they were to abound even more. Remember the Apostle Paul's motivation back in chapter 2, verse 4. He says, so we speak not as pleasing man, but God who examines our hearts. He was aware of God in his life. He had a relationship with the living God. And the things he did out of a motivation to please God. And when we fail, guess what? When we confess, that's out of a motivation to please too. Because he says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And praise the Lord, we walk in the context of grace. We live in the context of grace. We function in the context of God's favor towards us. Yet how do we please Him specifically? How do we please the Lord specifically? If I want to please Him, I want to please you, Lord, in how I treat my wife. I want to please you in how I share your word. I want to please you in how I do my work. I want to please you in my thinking, Lord God. How do I do that? How do we please God? Remember Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam, Genesis 5, verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I love that. Very simple, matter of fact. I think he's a picture of what God will do with the church when the church pleases him and takes the church out of the way when we walk with him. I think that's what's going to happen when he comes. But specifically, Enoch walked with God. But how did he walk with God? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. That's great. Why did he take him up? Middle of verse 5 of Hebrews 11. I'll read this for you. For he obtained a witness or a testimony that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Enoch walked with God and his walk was pleasing. Your walk can be not pleasing or it can be pleasing. And he obtained a testimony from God that his walk was pleasing. But how was it pleasing? Enoch walked by faith. By faith, Enoch was taken up. And the very next verse in Hebrews 11, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you don't personally trust Jesus to do what he says in the context of what he's promised, you don't believe who he is, you can't please God. You believe what God says. You believe His truth, no matter what happens around you. We walk by believing the truth. If He says, surely I will help you, surely I uphold you with my righteous hand, we believe that and we step out in faith. If He says, I never will leave you nor forsake you personally, you know that and you believe that by faith. It pleases God when from your heart of hearts you accept the truth by faith and you walk in that truth. It pleases God. You see, because Jesus Christ is the one who pleases the Father. Matthew 17, verse 5, while Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So when we trust in Jesus and we abide in Christ and his word in us. We rest in Jesus, a real relationship. We are pleasing to God. When you are tempted, God says he'll provide a way of escape that you may endure it. He's pleased when we trust him and let him guide us through that. He's pleased when by his spirit, by his power, we turn from evil. He's pleased when we confess our sin. When we initially repented, the angels rejoiced in heaven. God is pleased when we trust and believe what he has said as it applies to a real relationship in our walk, everyday walk. He's pleased. We trust him. The reality is we began this walk by faith. You trusted in Jesus Christ. We started by faith. You cannot come to salvation apart from faith in Jesus Christ. You cannot come to salvation. You cannot be saved. You see, concerning salvation, your own works are not pleasing to God. It's an abomination, actually. Only the work that Christ has done is pleasing, and God is pleased when we trust in Christ and we are saved. It is his will, his desire for us to be saved. But if you have not come to faith in Jesus Christ, you cannot please God. Romans 8, verse 8. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot please God if you have not come to faith in Jesus Christ. But he says, however, to believers, Romans 8, 9, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So God is not pleased with our actions apart from Christ in us by his spirit functioning through us by faith. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. It's all by faith. Colossians 2 verse 5. We came to faith in Jesus Christ. We walk by faith. If you want to please God, you got to trust God. Not just a simple, I believe. The demons believe the word in general. They shudder, right? But I believe personally in the person of Jesus Christ. And I believe what he says and I rest in him and on what he has said. Colossians chapter 2 verse 5. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, Paul says, rejoicing to see your good discipline and what? The stability of your faith in Christ. You want to make your shepherd rejoice? Trust Jesus and be stable in your faith. Praise the Lord. And notice what he says. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in. How they receive him? By faith. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, we'll see this later on, and overflowing with gratitude. Tremendous reality. We walk by faith, and the way we please God is trusting him. Do you desire to please God? Do you want to please him? Then you need his word rightly understood.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, in the moments that we have left in today's broadcast, you talked today about the importance of continuing to grow in your walk with Christ. Share with us how we can invest in our own spiritual maturity.
You know, Dave, the number one way to grow in your walk with Christ is to be in his word regularly. God uses his word to make us like his son. He uses his word to change and renew our minds so that we would prove or demonstrate what his will is. There's no shortcut for the true believer. God's word is our spiritual food, and when we partake of it in the context of faith, we grow in respect to salvation. If you want to grow in your walk with Christ, you need to be making his word a priority. And of course, we need to be praying and confessing sin and depending on him. But yet with that in mind, it's through his word that our hearts are changed. Read it, memorize it, listen to sermons, study your Bible, put His Word in your heart, allow it to confront and change your thinking, and you will find yourself growing in your relationship with the living God.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.